We're in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going through the heroes of the faith. And we can learn so much about our own faith and how to walk with Jesus every day through examining these heroes and exactly what it was about their faith that was so beautiful. And so Hebrews 11, and we're only going to look at three verses this day, actually looking at Isaac and Joseph and Jacob and their great faith. And these we kind of hook together, these three verses, because this has to do with one thing. And you can read it at the end of verse 20. The King James translation says, concerning things to come. Concerning things to come. By faith, these brothers knew about things to come. And you know, most of the Bible's about prophecy. It says that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy in the book of Revelation. And so as we study Bible prophecy, what are we studying? We're studying things concerning things to come. And to keep our antenna up about what God's doing, because it's such a comfort. It's such a comfort for you individually. And we see this faith right in our brothers here. And so let's take a look at verse 21st. And this is about Isaac. It says, by faith Isaac, that's Abraham's son, blessed Jacob, his son, and Esau concerning things to come. Again, this is our theme today, concerning things to come. Now, in order to understand exactly what goes on in this blessing that Isaac gave Jacob and Esau, we need to have a little history. And so let's go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 25 and verses 30 through 34. Genesis 25, in the Old Testament, first book of the Bible, Genesis means beginnings. And so everything began in Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth and so forth. And so we get to verse 30 of Genesis 25. Now, Jacob was kind of a homebody, and him and mom were very close. And so Jacob was kind of Rebekah's favorite. Esau was a hunter, kind of your athlete of the family. And he was out there always hunting, and he would actually kill some venison and bring it home for his father, Isaac, and he would cook it for him. And oh man, did Isaac love that. So Esau was kind of Isaac's favorite son. And so we have this dichotomy to let you know what's going on. There was this time that Esau was out hunting, and he got really hungry. Now, you guys that are athletes, you know that you do your thing, you're whatever, playing baseball. I look at Stuart right now, baseball player. And then there's football and soccer and all the things that we do. And man, after a game or something, you are hungry. You just want to go home, open the refrigerator, and dump the thing in your mouth, right? It's as simple as that. Where's my dinner, you know? And this is what happened to Esau. He was out hunting. He expended a lot of energy. He was really hungry. And he comes across his brother Jacob, and Jacob is cooking stew. Oh, that must have smelled good. I mean, to a hungry soul, how do you feed a hungry man? Man handlers. And so, there, you know, do you know that jingle? I think it's for Campbell's Soup or something. But anyway, so Esau comes and he says to Jacob, now, feed me, feed me. Yeah, there it is, chapter, verse 30 of Genesis 25. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you, with that red pottage, which is stew, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Now, Edom means red. And actually, the nation of Edom was developed through the descendants of Esau. Here we have Jordan today from ancient Ammon, which the capital city of Jordan is Ammon, after Ammon, the ancient nation of Ammon, then Moab, and then Edom. And Edom is where Esau settled, and his descendants were there. It's quite an impressive land, because it is the place of the rock city of Petra, where the Jews will hide out from Antichrist during the tribulation period. And it's also where the tomb of Aaron is, up there in Edom. You can see it from a distance. So it's a very important nation, and Esau is told in the prophecies later that we'll see that he will be a father of a great nation. And so there it is. So Edom means red, and so because of the red pottage or red stew that he ate. Now Jacob said, "Sell me this day your birthright." And Jacob knew exactly what he was asking for, because, you know, Jacob was really, really interested in getting the heritage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the way we know him, isn't it? In fact, Jesus speaks of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the New Testament as sitting down to dinner with them when we get to the kingdom of heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jacob is asking Esau, who he knew to be a profane man, to sell his birthright to him, because Esau was the oldest boy. Well, he was the oldest child. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." Now, you've probably heard this before, when a big, strong, athletic guy in your family comes in for dinner, and he says, "Oh, Mom, I'm starving. I'm almost dead. You need to feed me or give me some Oreos, anything that I need to eat, and I need to eat now." And so this is something that's common to man, but he says, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" So Esau is really despising his birthright. He's looking down on it as a very little thing. "I'd rather have a bowl of stew than my birthright as the eldest of the family." So it would have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau that's mentioned in the Bible by Jesus. But it's Jacob, isn't it? It's because Jacob was a man that really desired that birthright. And Jacob said, "Swear to me to this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils or stew, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now this is a very important thing, an important thing for you and I. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus at night? "You must be born again." We all have a birthright, the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he came to bring the possibility of a second birth. Each one in this planet has the right of being born again, to coming to Jesus, confessing sin, being able to have him enter into their lives, and then to receive the blessing of heaven, the blessings of God upon their lives, because they've been born again. And that's why Jesus said, "You must be born again." Now there are some people that despise that. This is condemnation. Jesus said that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And we're going to see from Hebrews a little later that actually the deeds of Esau were evil. Evil. So he despised his birthright. Now, something to really get from this is, what did he actually sell his birthright for? A stinking bowl of stew. But you know what? The same thing is happening today. There's some people that are selling their birthright to be born again for a stinking snort of cocaine. They're selling it for a sexual experience. They're selling it for whatever car they're worshiping, you know, Rolls Royce or whatever, the real expensive ones. And, you know, I mean, they're just selling out to the devil for the dumbest stuff. And you know, we must be born again. We must put everything on the altar. We must turn it over to Jesus. And we must confess our sin, whatever sin it is, and forsake it, and allow Jesus to save us. And then you are born again. You're born again of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you're born twice, you only die once. But if you're just born once, you die twice. Because as people are cast into hell, this is what it's called in the Bible, the second death. Yeah. So this is serious stuff. And so when we read about Esau despising his birthright, this is a big deal. So this will help us now to understand what happens next. So let's go to Genesis 27, just one page over. Genesis 27, starting at verse 26, we have the blessing of the firstborn and the secondborn. So we go to Genesis 27, verse 26. Now, Mom knew that Jacob was the better man. And Mom, of course, having Jacob as her favorite, Rebecca just loved Jacob. She knew it was time to go in and get the blessings from Father, because it seemed like Dad was going to pass away. He was getting older. He couldn't see very good. And so she disguised her younger son, Jacob, to look like Esau. She put Esau's clothes on him. She cooked up the venison just like Esau cooks it to present to Isaac. And they also put goat skin with those prickly hairs coming out because Esau was a hairy guy. And so Jacob was kind of bald, and so he needed some hair to fool Dad. And Jacob went through with it. And so as he presented himself to his father, his father, Isaac, this is verse 26, said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed," because he was the hunter and he was out in the field all the time. "Therefore, the blessing came forth from Isaac to Jacob. Therefore, God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you." Now this came to pass through Jesus Christ, didn't it? Nations will bow before Jesus. Jacob is the father of Judah, and Judah is the tribe that David was born to, and 28 generations later, Jesus Christ came through David, and he is the king that people will bow down to. So this is a prophetic word, seeing in the future. Here Isaac is seeing in the future concerning things to come. And it says that nations shall bow down to you, be lord over your brethren. Oh man, them's fighting words with Esau. Big, rough, tough Esau, you know, the football player, the linebacker, you know. And Jacob is going to rule over him. Whoa. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. And this is the promise that was given to Abraham, passed on to Isaac, and now Isaac passing it on to Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob means heel catcher or supplanter, and God changed his name to Israel, which means Prince of God. When Jacob got saved, he had a wrestling match with Jesus. How would you like to wrestle Jesus one night? Well, maybe you have. I think we do wrestle Jesus sometimes, don't we? Oh, we went our way. I went my way. But the Lord's going, no. I mean, it happens. We do wrestle with Jesus, don't we? But after that, he got saved. He was gloriously saved. God changed his name to Israel. But this promise was given to Abraham, then to Isaac, and now to Jacob. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. That's why we rejoice when our country supports Israel. Because then our country can be blessed. And man, do we ever want that, don't we? So proud of our new secretary, ambassador to the UN. Take the stand for Israel. Man, I saw her on TV with raging fire in her eyes, man. Her name is Haley here. What is it? Heckley? Haley? Nikki Haley. Yeah. Man, she was doing good. We're standing up for Israel. You guys are all against Israel. That's all you're ever doing. The UN is just, we should kick them out. I mean, it's just, well, we could go on and on politically right here, right? So we'll get into that. But she's taking a stand for Israel, of course, under the direction of President Trump. Let's stick behind Israel. because everyone that blesses Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. And so they're here, and here's the promise again, passed on to Jacob. Now it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, big bro, comes home. His brother came in from his hunting, and he also made savory meat and brought it to his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise, eat his son's venison, that your soul may bless me. With a smile, right? And Isaac his father said unto him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. He realized that he'd made a major boo-boo. And he said, who? Where is he that takes the venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten and all before you came and have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. He knew it in his heart because he knew the future and he knew that Jacob would receive this blessing. By faith, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob, and was Jacob first, and Esau. That's what the verse says. Actually bringing forth things to come from his mouth. And so at that point, Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. Oh, he was bitter. The only thing he wanted to do was kill Jacob. That's why mom had to send Jacob away to go to Haran, which was 600 miles away. Yeah, because Esau was going to kill his brother. He's bitter. And he said unto his father, bless me also, O my father. And he said, your brother came with subtlety or trickery and has taken away your blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? And like I said before, Jacob means heel catcher or supplanter, because he's now supplanted his brother from the blessing. For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. No, Esau, he didn't take your birthright away. You sold it to him for a bowl of stew. Wow, for a stinking bowl of stew. I keep coming back to that. He sold his birthright, which also took away his blessing. God allowed this to happen, that his brother would also get the blessing because he got the birthright and was blessed of God, because he was the man that would be eventually saved. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord. Oh man, that didn't ring good. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now for you, my son? There's nothing left. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Man, I really felt sorry for Esau at this point. And you know, sentiment can break into it. But we will see in Hebrews, he really did not deserve the blessing of God. And we'll see that in just a second, a minute. But Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. So God did bless Edom. And like I said, the Israelis will actually hide out there during the tribulation period and be protected by the Lord from Antichrist. And when Jesus returns, he comes by Bozrah first, and that's from the Old Testament in a psalm. And Bozrah is right next to Petra. So he will be actually coming to say hello to his Jewish people that are being protected through the tribulation before he gets to Armageddon, the Valley of Armageddon, mounted upon a white steed, the kingly horse of a king, instead of a little donkey, when Jesus came the first time. He came humbly and to give his life a ransom for many. But the second time he's coming to judge and make war. And on the way by, he comes by Basra or Petra. And I just picture him going over Petra going, "Hey, I'm back." And then he goes ahead and fights the last battle. So there it is. And that's beautiful. And so here it is. Now, it also says in verse 40, "By your sword shall you live." Esau, it's going to be a bad deal for you because you're going to live by the sword. Those that live by the sword, die by the sword. "And you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you shall have the dominion or power that you shall break his yoke from off your neck." Esau moved away to Edom. He had no dealings with his brother Jacob for years and years and years. And so he did have some autonomy. God bless the nation, as we just talked about, that he founded Edom. But you shall live by your sword. Did you know that the four evil Herods, and I think three of them are mentioned in the Bible particularly, they all came from Edom. They're Edomites. And they got their power to be kings over Israel through the Roman emperor, not from any Jewish deal, because they were Edomites. And the first one, Herod the Great, killed all the babies in Bethlehem. Boy, that's a great thing to do in your spare time, isn't it? Looking for Jesus that he might kill him when he was born. So yes, this prophecy came true. This was Isaac seeing into the future that he would, "By your sword you shall live," as they swung the swords at the babies in Bethlehem. Then we have that wicked, wicked King Herod that came to Tyre and Sidon. And he was receiving praises from those of Tyre, saying, "This isn't the voice of a man, it's a voice of God," because they were trying to impress him because, well, wow. Right on, dude. Yes. So, this isn't the voice of a man, but the voice of a God. And because he did not give glory to the Lord, he fell dead and the worms ate him. Great way to go. So, we just look at the life of these Herods, and it is just terrible to just read through the history. And we could go on and on about that. But these are all Edomites. So there it is, and that's what we have. Now I'd like to turn with you to Hebrews 12, and then we'll go right back to Hebrews 11 here. This is a sad story, but Hebrews chapter 12 is where Esau's talked about in the New Testament to actually relate to our society, what Esau was about, and the reason he couldn't really receive a blessing from God. And it kind of ministers to us and sharpens us away from these things. Now, in verse 14 of Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "Follow peace with all men." We just read that Esau would live by the sword. "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." You're not going to see the Lord if you're not following peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We should always try to make peace and live in love. That's our first effort as a Christian. And then it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness." Oh, Esau was bitter against his brother. He wanted to kill him so bad they had to send him 600 miles away to save his life. So, "lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Now, probably all of us have known a bitter person in our lives. Man, everybody around them is just polluted by this bitterness. All they want to do is talk about the person they hate and why they hate him or her. And they want to just go ahead and stew in those juices. You know, little play on words, Esau stew. But he's stewing along in this bitterness. And then it comes right out and mentions Esau by name. It says, "lest there be any fornicator." So fornication is sex outside of marriage. So he was what many professional athletes are. They go from girl to girl to girl to girl to girl to girl. He was a fornicator. He did not deserve a blessing from God. He says, lest there be any fornicator, a profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He did weep, but this was not a godly sorrow. This was just, I'm sorry that I got caught, and I'm sorry that I didn't get the blessing. But he was an evil man. We must be born again, because all of us come from evil backgrounds. All of us have things that we're not proud of, but they're forgiven and they're washed clean by the blood of Jesus when we're born again. And through the power of the born-again experience, we're filled with the Holy Spirit to live a godly life, the resurrected life with Him. All the old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And this is what happened to Jacob when God changed his name to Israel after that wrestling match they had. They wrestled all night. And God then touched Jacob's hip, and he limped from then on. But praise God, to lose the use of his hip and get born again than not. And so he became a godly man. And God then could bless him and bless him and bless him again. And so all of you here today, and I know if I asked of a show of hands, most of you would raise your hand. Do you know the Lord? Are you a Christian? Have you come to the cross? Have you accepted the forgiveness of Jesus? Most of you today would raise your hand. And you are people of blessing. And God will bless you and bless you and bless you again with plans, not for evil, but for good, that you might have a future and a hope, just like Jacob, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, and you will sit down to eat with them in heaven. I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be one fine day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so there it is. And so we see also then Jacob seeing into the future, you know, with this idea. Now, let's go ahead then and go back to Hebrews 11. So we just did Hebrews 20. So let's look at Hebrews 11:21. We just discussed Isaac and seeing into the future and blessing Jacob and blessing Esau. Now, it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying. So now we go on to the next generation. And Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, I'd like to take you to the history of this also to see how Jacob saw in the future and was able to bless the two sons of Joseph. And so we go to Genesis chapter 48 and verse 18. Genesis 48, 18. Genesis 48:18. So here in Genesis 48 verse 18, now what had happened is that it was time for Jacob to die. And so Joseph brought his two sons to be blessed of Jacob. And he took his oldest son, Manasseh, to the right hand of Jacob, because the right hand would go on the oldest son, and the blessing would be there for the oldest son. And then he led his younger son, Ephraim, to the left hand of Jacob to bless him. But Jacob, knowing the future, by faith he blessed these boys. He crossed his arms, and he put his right hand on the younger son, Ephraim, and his left hand on the older son, Manasseh. Well, Joseph wasn't going to have anything to do with that. So let's read in verse 18 of Genesis 48. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand upon his head." And his father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it." And so, yeah, something's going on there. God's showing Jacob something about the future. And so he also shall become a people. Yes, sir. That is, Manasseh will also become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, "In you shall Israel bless, saying, God make you as Ephraim." Notice Ephraim is mentioned first, although he's the younger brother, because he's going to be the greater. "And Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And so it was. And this can help you and I to understand something that's in the Bible that sometimes seems confusing as you read through the Old Testament. And it says Ephraim. And you go, wait a minute, I thought he was talking about the northern kingdom here, which includes 10 tribes. It is. You can actually see that God uses interchangeably the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of the north part of Israel, with Ephraim, because Ephraim became so powerful. And Jacob knew that and had received that from God. He shall be the greater. Ephraim became such a large, powerful tribe that it was even got to the place in the Old Testament that the writers would refer to the northern kingdom as Ephraim. And so there it is. Now, just one more then to look at. Well, no, yes. Let's look then at Joseph. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 and get this idea. And then we're moving up to really get to us in just a minute. So let's just be patient with this history and really enjoy it. And I want to show you a piece of Bible trivia that's really cool. So looking at chapter 11, verse 21 then, it says, 22. Now we move on to Joseph, who is one of Jacob's sons. He is one of the 12 sons of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He said, "I want my bones to go home to Israel." Because he knew that after 400 years, Israel would get led over the Red Sea and over the Jordan River and come home to Israel. He knew that Moses would be called by God all those days later, and probably much from believing the word of God. By faith, Joseph did this. Joseph gave a commandment concerning his bones, that he knew that one day, even though he died in Egypt, they would be leaving, the children of Israel. Charlton Heston would take them straight over that long journey to get to Israel. What a blessing. Well, let's turn now back to Genesis. I hope you knew that was going to happen. Genesis chapter 50, verse 25, is actually the last two verses in the entire book of Genesis we read about Joseph. And it says here, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." And Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. He was made a mummy, you guys. Yes, he was. He was made a mummy because he was embalmed by the Egyptians. He had been a ruler in Egypt. So when you think of Raw, Amenkal, or any of those guys, that's what happened to Joseph when he died. They embalmed him. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So his remains lasted longer than anybody else's because, you know, the Egyptians were pros at that. In fact, they dug up Raw Amenkal and put him on tour, I think, in L.A. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. James, our third son, who was here for so many years, but he, when he was in college, he took a class about the Egyptian mummies. And he was so interested in that, that when we visited Europe and the Louvre in France, and he says, I've got to see the mummy collection before we leave here. But it was getting late. It was getting time for closing. And so he used his running ability, which he was a track guy, you know, in high school, and he ran like the wind through all of the Louvre. It was funny to see him going, you know, going fast, dodging people to get to those mummies. And so, yes, he arrived at the mummies and the daddies, and he was there and did his mummy thing. But then it was time to close. And you know, the way they close there is everybody holds hands like this, all the guards, and they start coming to you. And yeah, and you got to turn around and go the exit, you know. So it was the funniest thing I ever saw. I mean, we were kind of following, you know, there's no way we were running. We were following along after James to get to the mummies. And we never did see the mummies. James did, but not us. Because he was coming in front of these people, you know, kind of looking guilty. And so we just all joined him and came back. But this is just to say that mummies are really important. Really important because of the preservation. Now, I want to show you another scripture that can bring a little Bible trivia in for us today. Let's go to Genesis 50, verse 2. Now, this is when Jacob died. And it says, Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, the Egyptian physicians, to embalm his father. So Jacob is also a mummy. And the physicians embalmed Israel. So at that time, they had a great caravan that went back to Israel, to the cave of Machpelah, that was bought by Abraham for 400 pieces of silver from Ephron the Hittite so many years ago to bury his dead. So Jacob is taken back to Israel to bury with his father Isaac and his father Abraham in the cave of Machpelah, which is actually in ancient Mamre, which today is called Hebron. It's about 20 miles from Jerusalem, and they know exactly where it is. But it's actually in Palestinian-controlled area. And so the archaeologists are itching to look for the mummies among all the dead in that cave. Because Jacob and Joseph were mummified. And so they would stand out and, of course, maybe even be preserved like raw almond caul. And to this very day, somewhere in the cave of Machpelah. But Palestinians, they've even done some harm to that area because they do not like the fact that Ishmael is not honored there. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph buried there, and their wives and so forth. And so that's a little bit of, I guess, trivia. And pastors really like that stuff, so I had to share it with you. But just the thought, you know, possibly one day the archaeologists able to find the Egyptian mummies in the cave of Machpelah, and that would be Jacob and Joseph. So interesting things. Now, I want to then finish today with just saying this, that the subject that we've been looking at with these three brothers and the faith that they had is God's ability to show them, all three of them, things to come. God's way. And I imagine that Joseph knew the scripture that Abraham was told by God in the covenant that God made with him, that your people will be in a foreign land for 400 years, but I'm going to bring them back. And so Joseph, going with that prophecy, going with looking into the future and saying, take my bones with you when you go, because I know you're going because God said it. And that is a beautiful thing. So by faith, these guys blessed their sons and were waiting for better days. And so with that, we just take note that as we read the prophetic word of God, the Bible says that Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so as we look at those things in Revelation and study end time prophecies, this is a great endeavor for us because this is part of our faith. This is exemplified through brothers that had great faith and are in the hall of fame of faith. It's part of who we are to keep our antennas up for what's coming, not just worldwide. But I'd like to end with this scripture today in John, in the New Testament, that Jesus said at the Last Supper, that really shows us that God will show you things to come in a personal way about your personal life. And it's very kind of Him to do that, to comfort you and to take you forward. And so let's take a look at John 16:13. John 16:13, this is the last verse we'll look at today, so you can just make that effort now. Get over there. I know your fingers are tired. It's almost lunchtime. But let's look at John 16:13. Jesus is talking about the Comforter here, the Paracletus, the one who comes alongside to help. He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Concerning things to come. He will show you things to come. And this is very exciting that God does these kinds of things. I began to think of our church and how the Lord showed us how we'd be in Anaheim. It was just amazing. Because we actually began in Orange, in a house in Orange off of Glassell. And the living room was the sanctuary, and the five bedrooms in the house were our Sunday school rooms. And they had an ordination party there for me, and they gave me this present. And you know, I found the present last night in the library. The red commentaries are all lined up on the bottom shelf in this side of the library wall is what was in that box. And as they put that box there for me, somebody said, this present is from the Lord for you. And when they said that, that hit my heart. It's like the Holy Spirit just said, yes, they're right. This is from God. And so I opened up the box, and in red letters this high, written across the box, was Anaheim. Anaheim. And I knew that God was saying, I want you to be involved in Anaheim. We were in Orange. And you know, we ended up in Garden Grove for a while. And so much so that when Pastor Chuck finally came to our church with a love song concert a few years back, he said, man, I was mistaken about you. I used to pray for you, Mark Bove in Garden Grove. That's, you know, and I picked up, Pastor Chuck probably had a little saying for each pastor to pray for, because that's who he was. He would pray. And so I was Mark Bove in Garden Grove, because we were in Garden Grove for a few years. But the Lord finally settled us here 26 years ago in Anaheim, and this is where I've spent my life. I had dark hair when we moved here, you guys. It's all gone away. Yeah. Oh, thanks, bro. You said I have some dark hair in the back? Yeah. Can I make it come up a little bit? Or? But anyway, so God was touching our hearts, and we called ourselves Calvary Chapel Anaheim, even when we were in Garden Grove, and even when we were in Orange, because God said Anaheim. And I'm so blessed with this as I look back now. I go, that was the Lord, and He was showing me things to come. So I want to encourage you and I, we should always keep our antenna up to the Lord, talking to Him, trying to touch the hem of His garment, wanting Him to put His arm around us and speak to us, to comfort us about our future, and to know that God's Word is true. And if God says the Holy Ghost will show you things to come, you can hang on to that and go home and buy the bread with it. And just The Lord is so good to do that. So I want to encourage you with that today. Well, let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for showing Isaac the future, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Lord, that they acted on that, and that is part of why they're in the Hall of Fame of Faith. And Lord, help us with this whole idea. Lord, we don't want to be not in touch with you, not looking to you for our futures. Oh Lord, not studying Bible prophecy, which is so important for our growth and stability in this walk with you on earth. So God, just please help us and encourage us and strengthen us in these very important things having to do with our faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We'd like to invite you to come to Christ today if you've never made that commitment. You want to receive the blessings of God in your life. You want to go to heaven and receive the ultimate blessing later. You need to confess your sin in Jesus' name. Get away from where Esau went. Don't sell your birthright for anything. Go for Jesus. So we'd like to invite you to the prayer room today. There'll be folks in there to pray for you. We have free Bibles if you need one. The Lord really wants to walk with you. God bless you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.